Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Bonjour and welcome to the Square Ball Podcast 166. We're with Levi Solicitors. 10% of your legal fees when you mention the Square Ball. When you inquire, if you move in house as well, check out the conveyancing team. levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan. With me, avec moi, is Michael Normanton.
Ça va?
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Salut. Ça va?
Should we dispense with this? I think we've probably done our French
We've killed the joke thoroughly there, haven't we?
Petit peu, oui. Tell you what I do know in French. I mastered this at school. Je travaille dans le jardin avec le chien méchant.
You work in the garden with a dog.
What kind of dog? Chien méchant.
Machine?
A dog machine. A dog merchant.
Angry dog.
Oh.
Anyway, carry on.
Issue 5 of our magazine is the current issue. It will be on sale versus Millwall and Wigan. Came out at Sheffield Wednesday, did that one. On sale down the eastern side of the stadium from the statue to the motorway tunnel. Loads of clothes and mugs and stuff like that on sale via the website at thesquareball.net. Well, it was a very stress-free weekend because Leeds United didn't play, so we don't have any games to reflect on. FA Cup fourth round weekend.
We have some games to laugh at.
All it was, really, just going, yes, that's right, you get sent off. Yes. Oh, you've got lumbered with another game now, haven't you?
Everybody from West Brom to Scum, all helping us out. It was hilarious. Never mind beating Tranmere 6-0. Anybody could beat Tranmere 6-0. But yeah, really good. I think we should just give up on the actual playing games part of Leeds United and just watch everybody else suffer.
Did you enjoy having a stress-free weekend? Because up to a point, I was like, oh, it's nice not to have that anxiety. But then actually it got later on in the day and I was like, oh, I kind of miss it.
I thought it was quite nice. I feel like the players will hopefully be as refreshed as I am from this.
I mean, this was the pre-Jean Kevin Augustin era.
Well, I was fully in the midst of it. I downloaded every video of him and Ian Carlos Poveda Campo that I could find. Poveda O Campo, whatever the fuck he's called, I don't know. Ian, and watched them all. That got a bit repetitive. There's only so much footage you can make a banging YouTube highlights clip out of. But the variations in choice of EDM was interesting to track.
Which was your favourite? Did you enjoy the bass line, the trap, the...
There was one that I ended up shazamming. Let's see, find out what track it was.
In many ways, this watching of the videos bit is the best bit of a new signing. It's a bit like the pre-season where you think, maybe all these new players we've got, despite the fact they're all like freebies who've been released from Wigan and stuff, maybe it's all going to come together. Mm. And it's that feeling, you get that feeling again at this point, which is nice.
But, I mean, happy hardcore sort of.
This was Savage by Paul Flint. That's where it was the right backing for your new optimism. There you go.
Well, that's...
Yeah, I think the lyric is when a dog eats something. So I don't know anything about that. It's funny, looking at my Shazam, there's that, and then whatever I checked before, it was Jethro Tull. World of contrasts.
Anyway, but yeah,
a tough transition on the DJ set.
Get from that to that, Disc Monkey. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying there, Michael. It's nice to have that sort of reset, isn't it? And I think it's something we were kind of arguing for a little bit when we were saying just sign some players, just give us something new to look at, something interesting to reset our hopes, and you know, because it distracts from all the other shit that's going on, doesn't it?
You almost forget that it's Tuesday morning as we record this, that we're going to go to Elland Road this evening and have to watch Pat Bamford toiling away up front, doing his best, bless his little heart. But it may be the last time. So that's what now everybody will look forward to. It would be a
last interested, time ever?
Well, I'm interested to see whether they'll do any parading of Jean Kevin on the pitch before the game, or maybe at halftime if Pat's not quite doing it. Just, oh, actually, JK, can you come and do this? I think we need to give everybody a boost.
Put the feed on into the dressing room.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, serious point, that is what it's about, is giving Bamford a kick up the arse. The other way it could go is he scores four and Jean-Kevin can't get in the team for the rest of the season.
Both of which is good. Well, yeah, apart from not getting the team, because we'd quite like him, I think. But
if Bamford's scoring all the goals, then fuck him.
Tell you what, we'll come on to all that in a bit. Let's just reflect quickly, if we can, on the weekend and the good bits. So what were the good bits that happened for us then, for anybody who's missed it?
West Brom went through, so that's good. So they get another distracting game. And they had Semi Ajayi sent off, so he misses their game at Cardiff tonight. So that's good. Hopefully they'll have some more injuries and suspensions to come from the next round. Who have they got in the next round? Do we care? It's another game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just keep them busy.
And then Fulham lost to Man City, but Tim Ream did get sent off, so he misses their trip to Huddersfield.
What does Ream do?
Centre-backing.
Right.
Heading. Well, and on this case, just pulling people down when they throw on goal is what he did in this game. But, I mean, he's only going to miss Huddersfield, so probably doesn't matter.
Although, they did us a favour versus Brentford, so let's not write off the old dog bother us.
True enough. And also Stoke beat Swansea, who have crept up on us again, because we can't win games.
Swansea?
Yeah, they're within about 7 points of us again now. So it was nice to see them lose at the weekend in the one championship fixture that was there.
So yeah, when is fifth round weekend? Because that's when you start rearranging fixtures and getting cancellations, isn't it? This is when we pull away from West Brom.
Hopefully, and they get a real clog. Have to play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday or something. That would be nice. You know, three games in a week for them. Seems fair.
All right, just had a look. So it's the fifth round weekend is the first weekend of March, by the looks of it.
And who do West Brom play?
We should have really checked this before we come on to sound a lot more professional. To be decided, TBD. They're playing a lot of other teams as TBD. Home versus another team.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that Scum Tranmere game took some last-minute sorting out, wasn't it? I think they were... Solskjaer and the boys were waiting at a service station to find out which direction they should be going in.
Downwards, I think.
Very good.
West Brom are at home to Newcastle or Oxford.
So Newcastle will be a nice distraction, assuming that they actually managed to do that. And they should, because their replay's at St James's Park, isn't it?
Yeah, so you... I think, once the Saudi money might have landed by then as well, so they may have...
I'm thinking of their Rochdale game. Either way, it's a distraction. I don't care. Does this go to show how much we care about the FA Cup?
It is a bit of a shame. Sheffield Wednesday snuck through as well. They've got Manchester City at Hillsborough, which they shouldn't own. And... So that also helps because they're hanging around the playoffs annoyingly, aren't they, as well? So just everybody just concentrate on the FA Cup and let us concentrate on winning the league. And yeah, the start of March. So we've got a month before those games, so we could have it wrapped up by then anyway. It will all be irrelevant.
Let's hope so.
I've just looked at the draw. If Derby get past Northampton, they're at home to Scum, so that's going to be a right Wayne Rooney jerk-off, isn't it?
Well, it already was. Did you say? I think it was one of the BBC Twitter accounts tweeted out Wayne Rooney versus Manchester United, thus eliminating the whole need for Derby County as an entity.
Well, he's got to get past Northampton first, hasn't he? Come on, Northampton. Go on they're the cobblers, aren't they? Go on the cobblers.
It was worth pointing out as well that the post-Leeds slump continued as well, with QPR losing to Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup fourth round. Somebody needs to maybe nip that one in the bud and just point out, stop trying so hard against Leeds, because it's a competitive disadvantage for us, isn't it?
I do think it makes it unfair. Sport is supposed to be all about fairness, a level playing field. We know Bielsa likes to share the information that he has with everyone else to ensure, you know, everybody's got the same chance of going out on the field, and it's 11 against 11. If one team's going to try more, then that's not fair.
Later this week, then, we're going to be speaking to Phil Hay on our collaboration podcast with The Athletic. It's called The Phil Hay Show. And we're going to be doing a transfer deadline day special. I mean, obviously, Leeds look to have got most of their business done by now. However, we're going to be running the rule over it and getting some genuine insight from Phil rather than the nonsense that we come out with.
We might sneak a signing through. You never know. We should have a klaxon at the ready of some kind, some sort of siren.
We've teamed up with The Athletic this year on the podcasts as well. And if you want to subscribe to The Athletic and have a look at all Phil's writings, you can get that via the app or at theathletic.com. Sign up by using the code LEEDSPOD and you'll get 40% off your subscription. So how do we feel now we've signed some players and Leeds United not dicking around with the playoffs anymore? We're doing our business early in the window. Got it done. JKA. I mean, we didn't know much about him kind of a week ago.
Now he's my favourite player.
Everyone seems to be quite giddy about it. Michael, are you giddy?
I am. I mean, I will just pick you up on something. I wouldn't say the 27th is early. It feels quite late. If someone said, I'm in my early 30s, and then you found out they were 37, you would go,
no, but
isn't that...
But equally, if someone said to you, hey, listen, my wedding's on the 31st, and you showed up on the 27th, you go, fucking hell, you're 4 days early. Early, very early.
It's early by Leeds United. It's early by Dan James standards.
Yeah. I think that was the important thing, is that I think politically they had to be seen to get it done ahead of the deadline, so we're not panicking with a child locked in the East Stand late into the night on deadline day.
Instead, we had him locked in a hotel room with an adjoining room, which we invited him into. It all sounded very sinister, the signing process.
Especially like, when it's...
You just sleep in there and we're just going to set things up in here.
Yeah, it made it sound like they spent all night setting it up as well. Like, while he slept, Rob Price was sneaking in, like, setting up his mobile lab.
Gets just laid down.
The time, they have been quite... I think they're conscious of the attention they're getting on how long things take. So they've done a piece with Victor Orta on the official site this morning, sort of talking about how they identified Jean-Kevin very early and put the little conversation out there to say, like, could we have him? And at the start of the window, it was like, well, a tiny chance. And then because Monaco changed their manager, so a lot depended on what he wanted to do. And then they went with Shea Adams, got caught up in Hassan Hurtle's rabbit hutch of doom, and then got the nod from Monaco that actually new boss not that bothered and he wants to come and play for Marcelo Bielsa. And then so they've made sure to lay out the timeline. I'm sure they're trying to point out, like, when did between the name coming up, because it was always bubbling under that Leeds were interested in this player on the continent and the name never came up.
It was somebody who was said to be exciting as well, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. And then when the name did come up, we're talking within about 48 hours when he was liking every single tweet on Twitter that mentioned him and Leeds United together. So you could kind of, it felt like it was pretty much done. I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if this hadn't gone ahead after he spent his weekend, or one of his team spent their weekend, liking every single Leeds United related tweet on Twitter that they could find, and then he doesn't turn up, signed for Southampton? That's the other interesting detail about this.
Yeah, I love this particular, well, what do we call it? Is it the fates? Whatever it is.
Shit housing?
Rabbit housing.
Rabbit housing. Because Hassan Hurtle signed him before at Nonsense Leipzig, I believe, didn't he? And was quite interesting. He did a very vague interview earlier in the window where he was saying, oh, it's nice we're linked with him. He has qualities because he's very quick. He can score. He's used to the high pressing methods that we use. And that would help him if he would be here, but he isn't. Which is a lot to say about a player. I know Jonathan Woodgate did a very similar thing about Jack Clarke earlier in the window where he's like, oh, he's a great player. Oh, he's so good. I've seen him. Oh, he would be
Where's he from?
He'd be a fantastic signing. And then one of the journalists said, oh, are you going in for him? He went, no chance.
Well, they were said to be sniffing around him at one point.
Yeah, and I think this rabbit, his little nose would have been twitching. Makes him sound a lot cuter than he is. And then we've got him, and it's come out this morning as well that apparently Solskjaer was having a very little nibble at him because they need a striker of any description, and they've got a lot more, they've certainly got a lot more money than we have.
Football's great tragedy, as Miguel Delaney, oh, the journalist, said.
So many tears have been shed, haven't they?
Let's just pause for a minute. And I know we usually hate them with a passion, but I think we've got to reflect on the struggles that Man United are enduring, in that they've got some owners who have given them the biggest transfer budget in the Premier League in the last transfer window, but happen to be rinsing quite a lot for themselves.
I believe the people of Bury are going to be holding a minute's silence later.
Collections,
later
maybe.
Today. Yeah.
And they're imagine that, fifth in the Premier League.
Surely they're out of all the cups, though.
No, they're in them all. But, you know, Man United used to be first loads, and now
they should still be first, shouldn't they, really?
They should, because they're Man United.
Yeah.
And I think we really ought to just reflect on that. Can we just reflect on that?
It's really the fault of football as a whole that they've chosen to sign loads of shit players in the last 5 years.
On astronomical wages and employ a shite manager.
And I'm
shite managers.
Yeah. The logic, I mean, they've been watching Phil Jones play for years, and it's only now that they've actually signed Harry Maguire, who is a lot better, that they're annoyed that they've got Phil Jones and they've had him for so long. It's kind of, I would have, it's like if we signed all the years we had with Luke Varney, And then we signed Jean Kevin. And suddenly we're like, why haven't we got better players than Luke Varney? Well, we've just signed one for potentially, in our case, £17.7 million. It's entitled wankers. It's even better that we have rescued him from their clutches. Oh, Ollie's at the wheel. Yeah, but he wants to play for Bielsa, so fuck you.
I mean, we don't get him, do we, without Bielsa? You wouldn't imagine.
No.
No. I mean, I'm quite pleased with the little Hasenhüttl aspect of this. When I read those comments, I just thought, yeah.
Because this is what football's all about. It's not necessarily about what we do. It's about being able to stick two fingers up at other people where possible.
It's like Hasenhüttl's been annoyed about us going out with one of his friends or something. Been a bit of a dick about it. So we've just gone, right, your daughter. We're going out with her instead. See, how'd you like that? I'll be around for Sunday dinner. Fuck you, Ralph.
Beautiful analogy. That's beautiful. I like that. Yeah. So, yeah, £17.7 million on top of the £2 million loan fee, which would all in make him our club record signing.
If we're promoted, that is.
When we're promoted.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, I mean, that's the other positive thing as well, is that we do have the option to keep him, that it's not just a loan. And it's Shea Adams money, which is the other interesting thing about value, because Scum, no matter how desperate they are for a striker, they're not in for Shea Adams, are they? And, you know, whatever their fans may think, they are technically a top six Premier League team still. So if we're grabbing a player of that quality for this sort of fee, then it kind of mitigates or balances out the risk of him being an unknown in this league and him having relatively few games under his belt. Because that's the thing about him, is he's kind of a, what is he, he's 22. Shea Adams isn't much older, but Shea Adams does at least have a season or two in the Championship.
Shea Adams, he's only 23, isn't he?
Yeah, so is he, that's what I said, he's a year older.
I thought you said he was much older.
No, I said he's a year older. That's what I meant anyway.
Oh, right. Oh,
who even knows what I said? But anyway.
I kind of reacted to what came out your mouth, so.
Well, why people can't just put in their headphones and just read my brainwaves?
This is how conversation works.
Otherwise, I dread to think what else they'd find. It would be that EDM track just banging on repeat. So there's not much between them in age, but there is a lot between them in terms of domestic league experience. But then John Kevin's played in Europa League, and he's played for Paris Saint-Germain. He's played in the Bundesliga. He's been at Monaco, not getting many games for them, but they, I think, I can't remember who Monaco's actual striker is, but he's been scoring ridiculous numbers of goals, so we can't get past him.
It's Ben Yedder, isn't it, who's potentially on his way to Barcelona. So he must be all right.
Yeah, you'd think so.
And they have a history of decent strikers.
So it all lines up good. And the videos that I did, okay, there's not much in there. You don't get to see his all-round play. Does he run off the ball? You'd assume Bielsa and Victor Orta have taken care of all that, but he can shoot. And I think that's why I like about him. You can't make any conclusions off of a YouTube video. It would be daft, but you can watch somebody repeatedly shooting early at a goal and putting it beyond the keeper into the net and think, I think that might be something that he does. And it's a nice contrast to Bambo, who does tend to be a little bit, shall we say, thoughtful in front of goal, and then doesn't actually come up with an idea. He thinks and then doesn't have a clue.
Yeah, that's what I said previously.
See what Kev does.
He seems to
hard kicking.
Yeah,
he does. Yeah, Bambo does seem to think too much about where he's going to put it,
and it's hard kicking, early kicking as well. He's got that thing of catching the goalkeeper by surprise. You didn't expect him to shoot from there, or we could have taken a touch, but he's just shot and scored, and that's very good. And yeah, the whole thing of him scoring, I think his XG is supposed to be 13 and he scored 14 goals. So given that our team XG is like a million and we've scored two, yeah, he seems like he will help with that. Somebody to actually finish our chances.
And his previous clubs, when you think about it, and why he's going to love it at Leeds, started out at PSG, which is basically Disney. Then he's gone to Red Bull, which is not a real club. And then Monaco, which isn't real either. So this is the first proper club he's played for. And he's going to love it. He's going to love the Leeds fans, and Leeds fans will love him back. And that's why this is exciting.
Well, he's front page news. The Yorkshire Evening Post, isn't he? Look at
that you write for.
I mean, I'm on the back cover above his. Yes, it's I've not actually noticed. If you look at they've got the photo of Jean-Kevin with Victoire et Angus, and directly above JK's head is my head.
Does that mean you're more important than him?
He's front page news. Bienvenue à Leeds.
What does that mean? Hang on a second, just a second. Bienvenue à Leeds. What does that mean? Somebody should explain that, because I think that's a bit difficult.
There is helpfully a translation.
Thank God they did that. I'd never have been able to work that out.
In brackets, your Yorkshire Evening Post has helpfully translated it as welcome to Leeds. It says welcome. Bienvenue.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we're already learning things. It's like, it's not just a football transfer.
It's cultural.
It's a cultural exchange.
And he's wearing the famous number 29 shirt. If you remember our previous record signing, Rio Ferdinand, he came in on that shirt, and some real stellar names have worn the 29 over the years.
I mean, Dakara was obviously the striker he'll be aiming to be.
And let's not forget Maja Gomez as well.
Yes. I think someone pointed out George McCartney might have worn it.
Fucking hell.
Remember George McCartney, those happy days? Him struggling at left back?
He was yet another one who actually wasn't that bad, was he?
Oh, he was terrible.
But for us, he was atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah, he played about 200 games for Sunderland before he came to us, and then he got to us and his legs had stopped working.
Do you know what? I completely blanked that out.
You do well to do it. That left backs from that period... best forgotten. Shane Lowry, Tony Capaldi, etc.
You see, can't remember
them. It was all that part of that group.
Well, that's exciting, isn't it? 29. And he seems to be his number because he's won it previously. So I like that he's sort of kind of taking ownership of the shirt and all that. That's exciting.
Yeah, there is another detail that I noticed amongst all the thumping highlights videos. There is one from the Bundesliga titled Jean-Kevin Augustin's fair play moment in a game.
Hang on a second, I see what's going on here.
In a game in Germany, he has a shot and the referee gives a corner and all the defenders, these big German guys, come running and say, Nein!
Das ist not ein Corner!
And you can see in the...
Das ist not ein Corner!
You can see from the replays that it hasn't touched the defender at all. And as they all zoom in, I think he gets a little bit shy and a little bit intimidated by these big fellas. And the referee says... Something you want to tell me? it's a goal kick, and then it's all high fives and.
But if only we could take him to some sort of club known for its fair play, who'd maybe received an award for something like that. It's a marriage made in heaven.
You've got to think it was part of the conversations that helped clinch it.
What I like,
but, it's good. It's good that we've signed an honest player as well.
What I do like is I just like the story arc of all this. It's the kid who's come up alongside Mbappe, and he's gone on to be a global superstar, and he's kind of just fallen away into the shadows a little bit, and he's trying to just resurrect himself. Stories of maybe attitude problems and stuff like that, and he's turned around and he's gone. Papa Bielsa.
He's like a striking Sol Bamba. He also came up at PSG, attitude problems, bombed out.
And now he's at Cardiff.
It was Neil Warnock who...
And Diogo Raga was in the PSG youth team.
You're not helping me now. I'm trying to paint a romantic vista.
Didn't make it through to the first, or even the B team, actually. He was just there as a youth.
But he's turned around and said, Papa Bielsa, sauvez-moi, which I believe is the French for save me. Don't you feel like there's a nice romantic angle to it then? He's like coming to find himself again. It's a proper club. He's going to love it here.
It reminds me when we signed Adrian. You had all those clips of him looking brilliant on the internet. And
Buy into it, you miserable bastard.
No, it's not the same. It's easy to be damaged about previous signings and go, all right, well, Adrian was like this wonder kid who'd done all this stuff in youth tournaments and stuff. But he has played in some proper competitions as well. Like, it isn't just because we signed him from abroad, it's not fair to say he is Cyril Chapuis and Edgar Chani and all the rest of those shithouses just rolled into
Sarko.
One. He does have actual proven quality.
It's a bit weird now. The whole looks good on YouTube criticism feels a little bit out of date because absolutely everything now is on YouTube. Like, if you look at TikTok, everybody's entire life in the world is divided up into 15-second clips and posted on the internet. There's more... What's the statistics about how much video is uploaded to YouTube every hour? It's like 6 billion hours of footage is uploaded
More than
every hour.
All the films that have ever been made ever.
When I was watching one of... I can't remember if it was Jean-Kevin or Ian, but it got to the end of... the stream of highlights.
You've really not been doing anything else, have you?
And then it said, click for our previous video for the highlights of Asmir Begovic, which was intriguing. Then I didn't realise Asmir Begovic, who is Bournemouth reserve keeper, who was at Stoke for years, has just last week gone on loan to Milan. So I can kind of understand why some kid in a bedroom in Poland has gone, right, I'm going to get all the clips of Izmir Begovic that I can find. And I do have a kind of a newfound respect for the people making those videos, because it can't be easy to source the footage of the UEFA under-19s tournaments and all this stuff and pick out the good bits. And it's a little bit like, it's almost like its own form of scouting. You've got these kids trying to, all they want is views, so they're actually actively looking for the players who look good on YouTube, like Azmir Begovic, and scouring FIFA for whoever is like the under-17 sensation that everybody's going to be like, oh, I want to see what they're like on YouTube, and putting it out there. It's very different to when we signed Felipe da Costa, and I actually found, as well over the weekend, Rui Marquez's post-Leeds highlights video on his official channel on Vimeo, trying to find another club. But that's 10 years ago almost, isn't it? It's now, it would be more surprising if a player didn't have any clips on YouTube, because they probably wouldn't exist.
Speaking of the France under-19, was it a World Cup? It will have been a World Cup, won't it, that he won? European Championship. He won a France under-19 something. I was looking at the England team in that, and do you know England's top scorer was? Izzy Brown.
Well.
Alongside Dominic Solanke, who was playing last night for Bournemouth and will never score a goal. They signed him for £20 million and he will never score. I can confirm after watching him last night.
Won't he sign for another club and then he'll start scoring? Eddie Howe just can't.
It did slightly worry me that we've signed like a French Solanke, someone who was really well rated and then has just gone around a few clubs for reasonable money without doing anything.
You could say that about Shea Adams. He's done nothing for Southampton this season, has he? So,
I mean, there's
a risk with everybody.
There's also an argument that says, even if we do drop 19 million quid on this lad, it'll probably be worth it to get back to the Premier League, even if he only stays with us in the Premier League for a year. Yeah, fine.
Scum will probably give us 50 million.
Yeah.
He'll score minus six goals and they'll come swooping in to try and soothe their fans who just demand that they spend money on everybody. And be like, oh yeah, he's brilliant. He's a new Cantona. We signed him from Leeds. He's terrible. Don't matter.
Quite like the hints at the bad attitude as well. And it's almost like I said, there's a bit of redemption built into this transfer, which you can feel. And there was a good article that touched on some of the themes that I found on goal.com, who quoted Batistuta in an article about JKA saying he'd arrived at his first club like Newell's Old Boys, a little bit out of shape, which is one of the criticisms of why they sent out JKA from Leipzig to Monaco, because he arrived back at Leipzig looking a little bit out of shape. Batistuta talking about this says, when I arrived, I was fat. It's that simple. This is in his autobiography. And he liked these traditional Argentine biscuits. So the first thing he did was Bielsa was got rid of his biscuit, right? You're not eating ever again. And then sent him out and taught him to train in the rain. I hated him for it, but he was grateful in the end.
I mean, I've seen some clips of Big Kev lifting weights with his shirt off, and he doesn't look like a fat man to me.
No.
I wouldn't mind being a few pounds behind him.
Yeah, I like the Big Kev angle of it as well, because that's really, it's anglicised him at a throw, hasn't it?
He's not even very big. He's like 5'10".
Yeah.
But he's quite a
He's unit. Stacked, he's stacked.
Yeah, he does encourage me that he might be able to hold the ball up a bit, because Nketiah, he scored the same, last night he scored the same goal for Arsenal that he scored for us every time, just tapping it in from 6 yards. He was very good at that sort of stuff, but back to goal, he wasn't really up to much, whereas Big Kev hopefully can rough up a few defenders.
Explosive motions and all that kind of stuff. And the whole under 20...
Is that Moscow watching those videos again?
That's correct, with no trousers on. He once turned down a France under 21 call-up as well, but he's admitted since it was a big mistake, but this is where the kind of bad attitude thing stems from.
Yeah, there was something, I didn't fully understand it, because it was, you know, when YouTube translates subtitles, well, it provides the subtitles based on what it can hear.
That mean absolutely nothing.
And then you translate them. But it seemed to be somebody shouting at him after a game in Paris for PSG, where they didn't like his celebration, and they were saying,
Meld.
Yeah, that another Paris player whose name, a former famous one, they were like, we got rid of him out of this club for disrespecting Paris like that. And Kevin is sort of saying, no, je suis Paris, je t'aime Paris. And
what does that mean?
Walking through, it means I am Paris. I love Paris.
Excellent.
It's all that. So there was something about, but he was much younger then. And what we do know about Bielsa, he doesn't stand for any nonsense, but I suppose Alioski's entire life is a contradiction to that claim. But he has got the ability to sort somebody like that out as far as they need any sorting out.
I kind of, in my mind, I'm seeing the video montage, super slow-mo, Bielsa and Jean Kev embracing at the end of the season over Coldplay, Fix You, you know, something like that. Chris Martin whining along in the background. Let's move on then to Ian.
Poor old Ian.
We've got Kev and the Ian signing. Oh, it's not as high profile, but...
Little Ian, he's been all forgotten about. He was all anybody could talk about last week. And then as soon as Big Kev appeared on the scene, little Ian, who he?
He's tiny, but he's got talent. He's got great feet. Again, going by what you see on YouTube.
This picture I'm looking at of him here, I mean, he looks really small. He's he can't be any older than 8 or 9, judging by the size of him. He was in the same Chelsea under-9s team as other alleged transfer target, Rian Brewster.
Mm.
And also Sam Gallagher, who's currently on loan at Swansea. So he was in quite a good group there, but he's not grown all that much since then. 5'5".
He has come through the route. He was in teams in South London with like Raheem Sterling and Brewster and all this lot. There's like a little generation of them all who've all come up, and he does seem to be the one who, it's not so much that he's gone down the bad path, but he's been driven by his father to, where's he been? He's been Arsenal, Chelsea, Barcelona, Brentford, Man City, all by the time he's 19. But everybody says it's because he's always been looking at like where the best opportunities are for him to actually have a solid career. He was turning down opportunities to play in like street tournaments and like local events because he's like, no, I've got trials with Arsenal. I've got youth team prospects and concentrating on there and what I'm doing. He was part of the Barcelona had to let him go because they bought him illegally. Remember, they got that transfer ban.
Mm.
Because they brought in a whole bunch of teenagers that they shouldn't have done. And he was among them. And so they had to, that's how Brentford got him for free. And it's only the last few months at Manchester City where he was in their first team and then got put back down to their under-23s. And it sounds like he's had a bit of a tantrum. So that's why he's left. But it's interesting, the details of the actual transfer, that it's free, but Manchester City will get up to £1 million based on appearances, and they have a 30% sell-on clause and the right to match any future bids for him from any other club. So if Liverpool come in one day and say, we'll give you £50 million for him, we have to go to City and say, do you want to give us £50 million for him?
With a 30% discount.
Yeah. So it's so they obviously want to keep an eye on him.
I can live with that as a deal, that we have to, that we get decent players for free. And then,
yeah. And it's not that we have to sell him back or anything like that. It's not we have him on loan for a season or anything like that. They could match any future bids and we could refuse them. But obviously Manchester City do want to keep a close eye on little Ian.
Again, you get the sense that there's kind of a bit of finding your home here as well, because if you saw the photos with his family, you know, his sisters and his mum and dad were there as well, they look so pleased. They look really pleased for him, look like, finally, you've got to where you need
to be.
You're
a millionaire.
Yeah. not just that, but that sense of he's gone from club to club to club and finally he's found a team that's given him a number, you know, he's taken the number 7 shirt, you're in the first team squad, you've kind of not, I don't want to say you've made it because he's not made it yet, but... Yeah. The sense that this is finally, he's at a level where he wants to be.
It's his first transfer as a first team player, isn't it? He'd made all these moves before, but when you're 15, 16, it's essentially fairly meaningless because at that age, even a lot of people very highly rated go on to do nothing and have dropped down to non-league or are playing in League 2 or something by the point. They're actually getting games.
It's funny, I was reading the background, there was a big article in The Athletic about his career so far, and it's going on about his days at Arsenal, and I was like, oh, this is all very interesting in there, and I realised he was 7. That's something ridiculous. It's like, what the actual fuck? But it's all very seriously discussed. No, his, like, you could see then his skills, some of the goals he scored, I'm like, fucking hell, he literally was a primary school. And there was this thing we had in advance for him signing, of him hanging around in Italy and stuff, but there were a few stories around last week as well that his family were preferring like stay in England. Like, it sounds like Torino or a move abroad was an option as well, but they actually fancied settling. It's not a big move from Manchester to Leeds. They can live halfway, move to Huddersfield, and, you know, have the worst of both worlds. But yeah, so it's not that helps as well, that it's not a big upheaval.
I think Pep Guardiola hit on something as well, because he was asked about this by Tom Carnduff, who is one of the followers of the Square Ball, actually. He asked him about it in a press conference, and he says he's young, he has to play, but he was not able, and I think Leeds United is an incredible challenge to be training for one of the best, or maybe the best manager in the world, of how he helps the players be better players. The way he plays suit perfectly for his qualities.
Yeah, I mean, Man City, you've seen it with Phil Foden, have probably got one of the best young players around, and how do you put him in the team? Because you're going to try and, well, not win the Premier League this season, but yeah, you can't. It's very difficult to just throw a player into a Champions League, but stick him in the Championship and let Millwall players kick him to pieces. Millwall will fucking love him. See the 8-year-old boy coming out on the pitch at Elland Road tonight. They'll be, I imagine, Matt Smith.
Waist high to Matt Smith.
He'll stomp all over him and then apologise sincerely to his family.
Well, he's a South London boy, so he'll be all right. He'll know Millwall, won't he? It's all right. But it'll be interesting to see if you imagine he's going to start from the bench tonight. For him to come on late on when legs are starting to tire and to be so quick and direct, I think it's something we've missed. And even when you, like we've said about Jack Clarke, he offers something. I think he's, I don't want to jinx the whole thing, but he looks like a level up on Jack Clarke because he's just that much quicker and more direct.
Stuart Dallas has been impressed, yeah, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, he said he's really quick, but then how quick's Stuart Dallas? I did see somebody put it quite well into context, and in a way it sort of helps to soothe the feelings about the club's activity in the transfer market a little bit as well, that says that over the last 6 months we've gone from Jack Clarke to Ian Pervaeda plus 10 million quid.
Yeah.
And Pervaeda, if you were to compare the two at their age, just looks like a better player, even if you're only talking about YouTube highlights or youth competitions, England youth. He's got a better track record in England youth than Jack Clarke. So we've gone from one exciting winger to a better exciting winger, and we've got 10 million quid, which has enabled us to go and sign other players. So you look at it from that point of view and you think, that's good business.
And Pervaeda has spent a couple of seasons training with Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva, whereas Jack Clarke spent them training with Oliver Sarkic and the landfill youth Majuka players that we purchased. So hopefully some of that has, at least we might find it like an easier level. You know, when sprinters train with tyres on them and stuff, so then they feel more explosive when they're actually training. Hopefully he'll just get to this level and think, I can piss this.
Yeah,
hope so. And yet that's kind of how it works, isn't it, when you drop down at the Championship?
It's like playing football with your kids. All of a sudden you become quite good, don't you? Yeah. Because they're like six and rubbish.
Finally find somebody you can outrun.
Except in the Championship, your kid looks like Daniel Ayala. He's like 7 foot tall and malicious. And that will be, yeah, maybe that's part of the part they'll have to get used to, because the under-23s football and such is not like real football. And we've seen that. He's had a couple of games for... He played for Burton in the League Cup, against Burton in the League Cup, didn't he? But if he's just going to be coming on at the end of games, and I liked the comment about Manchester City's under-23s team, where for a while their tactic was just give it to him and see what he can do. And that's kind of...
I'm up for that.
Yeah, we've missed that. He does...
The Pablo role is what we would call it.
Pablo is almost, if you're going to compare the two, Pablo is a little bit too intelligent at times. Like, he's really careful about what he's doing and trying to think about it, whereas
where do I put it for these idiots?
Yeah, one criticism I would make of Pervaeda from my detailed analysis of watching the same clips over and over again on YouTube is a tendency to dribble when he shouldn't, of just like, I'm going to beat this player twice, or I'm not going to pass there because I think I can run into the box from here and there's a player in front of me, but I'm going to beat him and two others rather than a pass. But fuck it, I'd be quite up for that in the closing stages of the game. We've got Calvin Phillips, obviously not for the next couple of games, waiting on halfway to stop if he gives the ball away and deal with anything, or Ben White can come in and stop any breaks. So yeah, somebody just a little bit idiotic who will just be like, oh, fuck it, I'll just beat them anyway and not be too worried about what might happen.
Do you remember when Grayson signed Max Gradle and he basically did the same job for us? He just came off the bench and eventually he did enough that we had to start him. But his role for the first couple of months was just come on and cause chaos. Yeah. And it won us a lot of points.
Well, you know, Ian Pervaeda may have been overshadowed slightly by JKA. Spare a thought for Ilya Kaprilic.
I mean, he's had his first taste of action sitting on the bench for the under-23s. I mean, that must have been nice for him.
I don't think we had to lock him in a hotel, did we?
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Well, now JKA's here and Pervader as well. We know that we're definitely going up, which is great. So that means we can now start planning properly the end of season promotion party in association with our pal Eden J. Harris, who's on Twitter with that handle.
I like the way you're now describing Garden as if he's a sponsor. In association with Eden J. Harris.
Yeah, good old Garden.
We are going to invoice him. £300 an episode. He'll be fine with it, I'm sure.
All your garden needs.
He's keeping an eye on this for us, the booze baton, where at the start of the season, we had hold of the booze baton. So our end of season promotion party would be in Leeds. Then Stoke took it off us because they beat us in the League Cup. And then, you know, when they got beat and so on and so forth, it's gone from team to team to team. Wolves only had it for a single game because they lost 2-1 to Liverpool. So it's back with Liverpool again. But interesting turn of events with the FA Cup as well.
Well, I mean, they nearly lost to Cumdog and Shrewsbury this weekend.
For the benefit of anybody who doesn't know what a Cumdog is, you might want to explain that reference.
He's their striker for some reason.
Cummings, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's chosen to have the nickname Cumdog. So moved to Huddersfield, awaits. But they drew with Liverpool, and then Liverpool have got to get past West Ham and Southampton before the replay. But Jurgen Klopp, in a Neil Warnock-esque turn of events, has decided he's not going to bother his ass going to this game. He's letting the youth team manager do it and play their under-23s, basically. So they might actually lose, in which case the booze baton could end up in Shrewsbury.
And do a tour of the lower leagues.
Tour of the lower leagues. And if it does, there are some real choice, locations in League One.
Before you do get round to that, they face the MK Dons straight afterwards, the Shrewsbury. So there is the prospect of it disappearing into the ether because they're not a real team.
I think for the purposes of this, we'll have to let it pass through them. But you don't want to go Maitland Keynes, do you? I remember going there for the Leeds game and it was asking where the town centre was and they were like, oh, this is it.
There isn't the town centre.
But it felt like you were it was like being at Junction 32. It was like just on a retail park and they were like, yes, this is the town. Yeah. This isn't a town.
It's the cathedral. Where are the cobblestones?
Where do the tramps go around here? But if it does end up in League One, yeah, I mean, we've got a range of like seaside towns. We've got Portsmouth, Fleetwood, Blackpool, Southend, Sunderland.
Sunderland does count, yeah. Oh, yeah, you said it with a question mark.
It is on the sea.
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Seaside town.
It's not really. I mean, it's on the seaside.
No, it is. It's a seaside town.
It's got a beach. Roker Park used to overlook the beach.
I mean,
it?
I worked there for a number of years. Yes, it's very much a seaside town.
So a lovely trip to the seaside town of Sunderland could be on the books. But if it does end up in Shrewsbury, I found the lowest rated club I've ever seen on that. It's 1.7 stars. Place called,
what's the name of this place? I need to hear of this. I'm gonna have to look this one up.
A place called Fever and Boutique, which is a weird mixture of words.
Sounds like an illness and a shoe shop, doesn't it? Like combined.
Yeah. But when you look on the Facebook, they're promoting the return of our famous nugget party. We are back open on Wednesday. Hashtag Wednesday, hashtag Shropshire.
Hashtag Shropshire is big.
Join us
big
for
thing,
the nugget party from 9:30. Huge offers, chicken nugget giveaways. And I mean, what sort of a club does chicken nugget giveaways?
I've seen it done in Leeds, actually, chicken nugget parties, yeah.
What happens?
Well, they're just getting a load of chicken nuggets and they'll give them out, yeah.
Do they look as bad as those? Because all the stock images of chicken nuggets they could have put on this Facebook event, those look rank.
I found a review on TripAdvisor as well, which I don't know if you can make any sense of this. I'll try and read
which
it.
Which one?
You tend to find with these as well, there's a real lack of punctuation, isn't there?
I mean, I'll try and read it true to how she went with it.
Spelling and grammar, the old spag is not well liked in Shrewsbury.
Hannah G on TripAdvisor turned me away because I didn't have my ID. Fair enough.
Question mark.
When Legends of Montgomery's Tower found us and gave me back my ID, but people from Beach thrived over not letting me in and my fiends. for no regal reason whatsoever.
I do like...
You're not royalty.
The people thriving over not letting me in. That's like that's a really good use of the word thrive.
Not her or her fiends. None of them were allowed in.
Hey, do you remember Mad Friday? That feels like a lifetime ago now as we close out the January transfer window. Transfer deadline 2014, Chelino, where's Brian and all that?
Where's the nuggets?
Sacked, not sacked, taxis, chases around.
I want a nugget party.
All the madness. Well, along with answering more of your questions, we are looking back on it on this week's Extra Ball podcast. It's another weekly podcast that we do for subscribers with bonus content for you every week. And for the people who get behind us, there's also a chance to win the greatest mug ever cast every single week. You can sign up now and enjoy your first month free at thesquareball.net/theextraball. I know we're all getting giddy with the new signings and all that, but doesn't it feel like we're entering yet another season-defining week with these two home games?
They can't all be season-defining weeks. We've got... It's January. I know it's nearly February, but I can't... If every week is a season-defining week between now and the end of the season, I'm not going to last.
No, I have been struggling. It has been really tough. That's why I enjoyed the weekend off.
These are games we should be winning, though, so I think that's why it feels season-defining.
And also, it's the return of Wigan, who obviously... They did us wrong last year, or rather we did ourselves wrong last year. So that's that needs winning.
Well, Millwall up first, who we play tonight as we record this on Tuesday late morning. We did cover this one largely last week, so you can...
great detail.
Go back and listen to that laugh from last week's episode. Bielsa confirming that Ben White's going to play in place of Calvin in that deep line midfield role, which we're not 100% sold on, but it's Bielsa, isn't it? He probably knows more about football than us.
Don't do it.
Well, he did say that they've used the break to practice, which is a bit different from the from last time. If you remember, he gave him the last 15 minutes of whoever we played before Huddersfield, like stuck him there to see what you think. So some proper preparations, especially with three games to get through. And, you know, he's got all the skills. He's got everything he needs in that position. He's seen it once. Maybe he'll be better this time. It'll be like, I mean... It's lost to history that the first time John Charles went up front, rubbish. Second time he went up front, not much cop, put him back again. Third time, absolute goal-scoring hero forever. So
you're saying we should put Ben White up front?
I mean, you're saying we shouldn't?
Augustine and anchor midfield? Something like that. Yeah, we should beat Millwall because we're better than them and we owe them one and we're angry about it. They cheated to beat us last time. And they are not the same force coming to Elland Road as they are at home. And also, they'll be tired because we spoke about it last week. Lost to Sheffield United at the weekend.
It's all set up for us to lose.
Now
we'll be right there. Obviously, Matthew Smith will be playing the old Beckford role of waving to the crowd. Maybe having a little wink at Victor, say, you know, budget for one more.
If you get the Danny Rose money in, you know, well, the 10% sell-on fee there.
This is it. And you're telling me him and Jean-Kev wouldn't be a big Kev and big Matt up front?
The French strike partnership of the future, that one, yeah. Matthias Mama will be absolutely delighted. On to Wigan, Saturday, home. Scarring about this one from last year, but that's got to be the biggest fear about this one because they're shite. They're absolutely shite.
I feel like we maybe slightly got rid of the scarring with the away win because they had a man sent off early in that one and it felt a bit like, oh, we know what happens now. But we didn't. It didn't happen. We got a nice regulation 2-0 win. No great dramas with it. It was just fine. And they are shit. We really have got to win this. This is a must-win game. I was looking through the fixtures. This is our easiest game that we have left.
Those are words that will be thrown back at you on Twitter.
Oh, look. It is true, though, because the other teams that we've started to play that are down the bottom of the league at home are like Huddersfield and Barnsley, and they're Yorkshire derbies, which are always a bit of an unknown. Whereas Wigan, there's no bad feeling there, is there?
No, there's no rivalry, there's nothing, apart from the home game last season, there's nothing, is there?
They won't have many fans there, we don't have any particular argument with any of their players.
Tom Pearce?
Oh, that little bastard.
Hey, listen, we've had a development. If anybody who's seen on Twitter, I tweeted about this yesterday. My lad, who has had leanings towards Spurs, is coming with me. It's going to be his first game at Elland Road, this one. So
that little curse.
Yeah, I'm cracking the nut.
What are you going with that?
So did I for a second, yeah. I was like, whoa, steady on. I know Michael called him a little prick before, but this is taking it to new levels.
Save that for the match ball. I presume he's coming on the match ball. Is he to explain himself?
We should get his feedback, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, not sure he's quite cut out for podcasting yet, but we'll give him a whaz anyway. So
what?
Give him a whaz, we'll give him a go. We'll give him a go on the podcast. But yeah, we should win that one, and it'd be nice for him to start off his Leeds supporting career, which will happen with a home win.
Well, what he's going to see in Wigan, I mean, Michael says that they're the worst team that we're going to face between now and the end of the season, but their style of play, they control the game in the opposition's half, attack down the left with width, taking long shots and attempting lots of crosses. They play the offside trap and they're aggressive. Their strengths are shooting from direct free kicks and attacking set pieces. So it seems like free kicks, definitely what they're good at, and strong at creating chances through individual skill.
They don't really score any goals, though.
Have you seen who their top scorer is?
It's a centre-back.
And I had to Google this to make sure this wasn't, when I saw it on the notes.
Quite a discovery, isn't it, his full name?
I had to Google it to make sure this wasn't a joke.
I did as well.
His name is Shea Donkley, isn't it? Like Shea Adams, but with a Y on the end.
Cheyenne.
His full name is Cheyenne, isn't it? Cheyenne Armani Keanu Roma Donkley.
I remember him, actually, because he is the player who Pat Bamford went very slowly around the outside off to score the opening goal against Wigan last season. And I remember Googling his name then and thinking, this can't be right.
In a strange twist, do you know where Cheyenne is a city, and do you know where it is the state capital of?
I know this.
Wigan.
Wyoming.
Oh, really?
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Ken Bates' very own Wyoming.
Wigan do have some weaknesses. They are weak at avoiding offside and very weak at the following: finishing scoring chances, protecting the lead, defending set pieces. I suspect that might change after this game. and avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. I think what strikes me about their characteristics, obviously supplied by whoscored.com, is there's very little mention of football. It's direct free kicks, set pieces, attacking and defending, offsides and fouls. That's basically Wigan. And high bombs. That's also Wigan.
They're not good, and we're going to beat them. I think we're going to get 6 points this week. What do you reckon? Inspired by our new French striker and Colombian winger.
Who won't play in either of these games.
But they'll give us a lift, and that's the important bit.
Will they give us a lift?
Yeah, I think Perveda comes off the bench tonight against Millwall. Sets up the fourth goal.
No, I think he doesn't. Because I think he sits on the bench and watches, and then after the game, Bielsa is just, well, I thought the team was doing very well as we would attack, we were like trying to come back from the 2-0 deficit.
There's no deficit tonight. It's 4-0, and at 3-0, he takes off Costa and replaces him with Perveda. That's what happens tonight.
Okay, and then it's 4-3.
Yes, all that, yeah. As always, we say thanks to Levi Solicitors for their support on the podcast. Moving house in the new year, loads of people are up to it. If you are, let's point you in the direction of their conveyancing team. Get in touch with Levi's and they will sort you right out. They are specialists in the area with loads of experience and fully accredited as part of the conveyancing quality scheme. They'll update you in plain English and they are completely transparent on fees. And you can get an instant conveyancing quote on their website, which is our usual landing page. It's levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. And remember, whatever you see on there for your quote as well, a further 10% to be knocked off when you mention the square ball, because you're coming through us.
Will they be getting Jean-Kevin out of that hotel and into a nice, comfortable family home?
Yeah, I hope so. They've got the contracts all drawn up. Where do you reckon he'd go and live?
Leeds, hopefully.
Do you think City Centre apartment, or is he looking for the rolling hills of the Dales?
Probably City Centre apartment. I think he wants to sample the nightlife.
Paris, Monaco.
Prism.
Belle Isle.
levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Heroes and villains then now. Let's pick them. People who've made us happy and sad this week. The Ken Bates Villainy Award. Plenty to go out this week for Ken himself. He's been up to lots, says Ken. First of all, thanks to Paul Mundy, who sent us, you know, those weather forecast pictures that you get. They always put a nice picture at the start that like a viewer has sent in of a nice like landscape. And Ken Bates, who's in at the minute in Groomsport, County Down, he sent in a beautiful coastal vista. It's like blue ocean, sandy shore and blue skies. Presumably Ken there weighing in on the Northern Ireland debate.
A picture offshore, you could say. Perhaps fitting.
Yes, absolutely correct. Yeah. What else has he been up to?
Well, after mentioning Wyoming Ken's Facebook page last week he had 132 likes. Not very many. Now, 231 and growing. Yesterday when I looked for doing the notes here, I wrote 211. I've just got on his page now, 231. He's had a bit of activity on his page, actually. He wrote a post about, I want to let anyone who knows me that my computer's getting worked on. I mean, he doesn't need to be putting this on, really. You know, I try not to use work computer for city council tablet for Facebook personal use, so I won't be on my personal computer very much. Blah, blah.
Oh, sounds like an honourable character.
Yeah, I do want to let people know that I will be handing out Dairy Queen gift cards to any kids stroke teens that come into city council.
Can I just point out this is not how he normally sounds?
I will be... I don't want to let people know that I'll be handing out Dairy Queen gift cards to any kids or teens that come to city council. We're going to meetings to volunteer to start us out with the Pledge Allegiance. And this will be paid for by my city council check. Always grateful when small groups come to see how the government is operated and volunteer for the Pledge Allegiance.
I feel like the interface between Ken Bates and Dairy Queen is one. The big gloops of ice cream sundae in his beard as fucking Susanna attacks him with a towel just does not make me feel.
Susanna spoon feeding it to him.
First one in there as well was Dave, who messaged him saying, Ken, do you think Leeds United will sign a striker before the transfer window shuts? This was like last week. So what did he say, Ken?
Mr. David. I'm not up to date about Leeds United, but I'll look into it when my computer comes back.
Leeds United in scare quotes as well. Leeds United.
I'm sure my opinion, good or bad.
Which is pretty much what Ken does anyway, isn't it? Not up to date about Leeds United, but he'll still give us his bloody opinion.
But since then, on the Dairy Queen post, Callum Bramley, a mate of mine actually, has put any update on the Hotel and Nightclub project.
There is actually, there's a very serious response from Tom Winterburn, who says that, describes the free gift cards to kids and teens at Dairy Queen as the type of reckless and egotistical spending we've come to expect at a time when our sole focus should be on procuring a striker. You're squandering money on ice creams.
Poor man.
So, sorry, Ken. We've ruined his page. There's now... we're almost at the tipping point where there are more Leeds fans on his page than residents of Casper, Wyoming.
Yeah, it was going to be Samuel saying... announced Augustine has 5 thumbs up from readers on there as well. And Josh Townend has brought those screenshots to our attention. He's also updated and pointed out that my Facebook page is a related page being offered on Kenneth Bates's page. So I might start getting some Wyoming pushback.
Having a Facebook page, the move of another egotist.
well, you know, if anybody wants a free ice cream, you can go fuck yourself.
Kenneth Bates, City Council Ward 2. Go have a look at poor Ken's page. Who else do you want to nominate as villainy? For villainy, rather.
Bielsa. He's already said he's not going to play Big Kev tonight, which he should. We should start him. And he probably won't play him on the weekend. Probably not the week after that. Probably not the week after that.
Until the defeats have come in.
Yep. So it's a preemptive thing, really.
Sort it out, Marcelo.
Just play him.
What other villains have you got?
Eddie Nketiah.
What's he done?
He played for Arsenal last night and he scored. I was really up for him playing for Arsenal and being bad. But as Michael said earlier, I looked at the goal because I was still following him on.
I mean, do you even call
Twitter
it? Do you even call it a goal?
It's just a tap. I mean, Jean-Kevin would laugh at a chance like that. He would have broken the net from that distance, whereas Nketiah just...
Oh, I put it in. Yeah, well done.
Blah, blah.
Who does he think he is?
He's a load of rubbish.
Have we got any other villains? Because it's obviously been quite a quiet week.
My actual Ken can get a nomination because it's 10 years ago that we signed Shane Lowry and Gary McSheffrey to boost our promotion push.
And here we are.
That's pretty dismal.
Still waiting.
That was the League One promotion push, in fairness. So we did succeed, bizarrely, with those players.
So that he's not a villain, is he? He's very much a hero of our times.
Well, we could have done better than that, is what I'm suggesting. Yeah. Anybody else?
Not really. We're in a strange position where Bielsa can't win Villain of the Week. Eddie Nketiah, him going back has kind of opened the door for Jean-Kevin to come in, so feels almost like a heroic move in retrospect. I thought about nominating Rabbit Hutch as well, but it's a similar kind of thing where it's, you know, we've come out ahead. There's been no misery as accrued to us from him not letting us have Shea Adams. It's the best thing that possibly could have happened.
I mean, there is one potential villain, Leeds fans, for failing to get a photograph of Jean-Kevin. Because, you know, we were stalking the airports, the ports, the railway stations, the hot air balloons.
There was some success with Little Ian.
Yeah, the Pervader work was very strong, and then we followed it up with nothing. People were trying, but not good enough.
So you've let yourselves down, you've let all the other fans down by not getting any photos of Big Kev on his way in.
It's been a learning experience. People now realise that at Leeds Bradford there's that other runway that Multiflight have for the private flights that's more difficult to track. So
But you're telling me that nobody could have gone up, you know, that bumpy hill that overlooks Leeds Bradford Airport where you can go view the planes
cemetery,
coming?
Yeah, Eden Cemetery.
Well, there's a cemetery on one side, but there's a bumpy hill on the other side next to the private runway.
Oh, right.
So you could go there. I mean, what excuse do you have for not going there, parking at night time with preferably some night vision goggles and a long lens telephoto camera?
And get yourself a DoubleTree hotel staff outfit, a little trolley. Just wander up and down, knocking on doors. Room service.
That's our villain, the DoubleTree Hilton. Do you know why? A, they let him in a side door, so there was no opportunity to stalk him going in the front door. Second of all, upon checking into the DoubleTree Hilton, you get a cookie. And we do not need our new striker any fatter than he already is.
Do you think they brought him in by canal boat? Because it's quite difficult to get to that DoubleTree from by land. You've got to go over. There's either the bridge at one end or there's the older stone bridge at the other. So you quite easily block those two off. There's the granary wharf. You could go under the dark arches bit.
But smuggled in under a barge with coal on it or something. He's under a tarpaulin.
So DoubleTree Hilton's our villain of the
Sneaking Jean-Kevin in under the cover of Twilight.
The Andy Hughes Hero Award. People who've done good by us this last week. Who have we got? Leeds fans, obviously, for stalking out Pervader. So we need to balance the universe.
Very well done on Pervader.
I wonder if he might have gone to Fazenda on a barge as well, but it did him no good.
Also at Granary Wharf, yeah.
Yeah.
It was spotted. I mean, someone's put here the salad bar. There is charcuterie available on that salad bar. It's not just salad. Get a nice selection of meats and cheeses.
Maybe he was getting his last meal before Bielsa gets at him with those flesh measuring pincers.
On Pervader, we never mentioned the contrast between the Big Kev signing picture and the Pervader signing pictures, where he just looked so happy. Did Victor Orta stood with the whole Pervader family? It looked like I think he's made some friends.
Oh, I think the difference might be because
three sisters,
and one of them's got one of the sisters is doing very much a sideway, a look to the side.
Where are your hands, Victor?
And old Angus Quinoa has got himself on the Jean-Kevin photograph, didn't he? And he's got the bigger grin there. So I think Victor Orta's a little bit, oh, I've got to share the glory with that little prick. I did all the work on this, Angus. Where were you for the... Angus didn't even show up for the Little Ian photograph, did he? Victor Orta had to deal with all those...
Victor went, No, you don't need to come to this one, Angus. I've got this.
And then this one's, oh, God, all right, Angus, come in. And I think his face shows.
Right, who else have we got for heroics this week?
Jackie Harrison.
Jackie.
Although I found that letter...
Jackie Harrison.
That QPR fan wrote to him kind of annoying.
It was too much.
Mr. Harrison. And also... If you're writing to a Leeds United player, don't put it on Twitter.
No, put it in the post.
Yeah.
Send it to the training ground, to the stadium. How he sends someone a letter.
Just soliciting for likes, isn't he?
Yeah,
basically. And he's already...
In fact, he's a villain. I don't know who he is, but...
He's some kind of weird TV celebrity. He's been like a TV presenter already.
Oh, he's a media whore.
Of the Hunt, I think. So he's reasonably well known, but I think it must be... I think if we went back through his Twitter, he probably does this every year. Dear Mr. Grealish,
do we want to
really impressed by your hair?
Also, didn't even address the letter properly, did he?
What did he put?
It's Jack Harrison.
Oh, I mean, that's not going to get there.
Let's just put a pin in this for a second, the Hero Award, and just retrospectively change the Villainy Award. He's having it.
Yeah.
QPR arse.
Smarmy bastard.
And in the... In the press conference, Bielsa gave this the short shrift it deserved when he was asked, have you seen the letter? And he was like, what letter? But the interviewer was obviously desperate to write something about Jackie Harrison and just asked him for a character reference, essentially. He's like, okay, you've not seen the letter, but do you like him? And yes, Bielsa said that Jackie is un gran compañero.
Does that mean a good teammate?
Yeah, a good, or comrade, depending on which definition you use.
Bielsa would have used comrade. Other heroes, Hilton Doubletree at Granary Wharf, always like those guys?
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to give us any rooms or anything.
Very, I was going to say, I don't know if I do like...
Do you want to conduct any secret business? They're the best place to go.
Well, I mean, we know from the summer that they're not, when Bielsa and Orta tried to have that meeting in the Sky Lounge on the balcony overlooking Holbeck. and just had streams of people taking photos of them through the glass and badgering them for selfies. So there was that.
They have meetings in the Duncan now. Can't see through the windows in there.
There was that great run of photographs where you could see them getting progressively more and more pissed off as they were being prevented from discussing transfer targets.
Other heroes then. JKA, obviously, he's signed.
And for his Twitter work, we did touch on it earlier, but it's nice to have someone who isn't being coy about the fact he's signing for a club, just liking absolutely everything, saying, you're signing, like this if you're signing for Leeds, liked. You have the medical going, liked.
And then his eventual one where he said it was no more likes.
He's confirmed.
Was it no more likes, it's official.
And also, let's face it, given the shift in mood, he is basically Luke Skywalker, Neo from The Matrix. He's Brian from Life of Brian. He's John Connor from The Terminator. He's the chosen one, all wrapped up into one package. He's our saviour.
And Ian Pervader?
Yeah, he signed as well. Well done. Who's your hero?
Maybe Victor Orta as well, because the thing that came out today about Scum trying to sign him is David Ornstein of The Athletic said that Scum made a late bid, but our bid was too advanced / impressive.
And Bielsa gave him a little shout out as well. Bielsa had that rampage the other week where he was basically trying to convince everybody that our club is the best run club that has ever been. But he did say yesterday, because there was the stuff about whether Bielsa had spoken to Jean-Kevin or Ian to convince them to come. And he said, I never do this. They have to want to come. And I have Victor Orta, who gives them all the information they need. And I have never seen better work from a recruitment team than Leeds do. I mean, the only problem is that we've put all that effort into over the years by absolutely begging Lawrence Dubok to come and putting together huge presentations to say to convince the representatives of J. Roy Grotz that Leeds United is the club for him. But
it's encouraging, isn't it? That's what it is. It's encouraging that we're moving in the right direction and we're leaving behind that sort of, like you described it, as a landfill signing.
On Lawrence Dubok, I did notice, I think Leeds Live did an update on how loan signings are getting on, and it was pointed out that Lawrence Dubok was on the end of a 4-0 defeat this week with their right back scoring two goals.
Fantastic.
Which doesn't bode well.
Very much a late candidate for this award then, Lawrence.
Well, the only problem is Lawrence will be back here in summer, won't he? Because they've got a deal, the option to sign him, but they're going to bin off Alan Pardew and then bin him back here as well.
Let's pick a hero anyway.
Jean-Kevin. Yeah.
For all that is about to come and being a new hero.
It may never get any better than this for Jean-Kevin.
Yeah. It's what a weekend.
Check out the Extra Ball, check out the Phil Hay Show, also coming this week, and the Match Ball after all our games, with mags, mugs and merchandise and half-season subscriptions for the fanzine at thesquareball.net. We thank you for listening to this one, and we say, how do you say goodbye in French?
Au revoir.
Au revoir. We'll speak to you later in the week. Thanks, bye-bye.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.